All right. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jennifer Peterson. I'm the Executive Director of Mass Waterworks Association. I want to thank you for joining us today. Before I turn it over to Commissioner Suberg, I'd just like to ask Betsy Riley. She had an announcement she wanted to make. So Betsy, why don't you go ahead?
Hi. Thank you, Jen. So hello, everybody. So I'm Betsy Riley from Mass Water Resources Authority. And today I wanted to bring up some sad news, sorry. And we probably wouldn't bring it up except for, you know, many of you may know this person. So sad to report that Guy Foss of MWRA passed away on January 29th after a short battle with cancer. Guy Foss worked out of our Southborough facility, director of Western operations, and he actually worked at MWRA for 50 years. So it is certainly possible that many of you may have crossed paths with Guy Foss over the years. He did run our treatment plants and our transmission system and all those things. So really just a tremendous loss. I think we're all still reeling from this very sad news. It was quite quick. So, but wanted to let you know, there is an obituary available, and Ginley Funeral Home is handling the arrangements, but the plans at this point are to have a celebration of life in June, on June 5th, 2021. So hopefully once all the pandemic has passed you can certainly look for details, I'm sure, on the funeral home's website.
Okay, thank you, Jen. For letting us know. Guy was a great person. I personally remember him offering several field trip tours to the Minuteman High School students. That's very sad and sorry for you all at MWRA and to his family. With that sad news, we will turn it now over to Commissioner Suberg to begin our call for today. So Commissioner Suberg, if you wanna unmute.
Sure, Jennifer, and thank you very much. And I appreciate the opportunity to be here. And we, on behalf of DEP, also, join in extending our condolences on the passing of Mr. Foss and to all of his family, to his friends and many colleagues at the MWRA. With this, it's I'm glad to be with everybody today again. This is our monthly call to talk about water issues as they relate to our ongoing response to COVID. With me, is Kathy Baskin, Yvette DePisa, and Damon Guterman of the Drinking Water Program, and Mike Maynard from the Licensing Board. A reminder that the call is being recorded. We do place the recording on our website following its completion of our discussion today. And as always, I believe Jane Downing of EPA is on. It's always great to have Jane from EPA here with any updates. So if Jane, you're on the line and are able to unmute yourself and provide us any updates, that would be welcome.
Thank you, Commissioner, and thank you to Jen. And first of all, we want to add EPA's condolences to MWRA and to Guy's family and friends. We need our water sector heroes. So hearing that somebody has passed is truly a loss for all of us. Today, I have a few odds and ends. I want to start with the cybersecurity attack. Just an update. If you all remember, this was SolarWinds. The virus was distributed by this company, SolarWinds, as part of a standard security update. It went to 18,000 customers, including government agencies and private entities. EPA set up a website, not necessarily in response, but to alert utilities if you want to hear more information about what is happening and some tools that are coming out of the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. So you'll hear a lot about CISA, That's what it stands for. It's out of DHS, Homeland Security. The EPA website, I'm going to be giving you a lot of websites today, so have your pen handy. The EPA website, again, for cybersecurity alerts is www.epa.gov/water risk assessment, one word, /epa-cybersecurity-best-practices. So that is a site that you can look to see any information on alerts and tools on cybersecurity. Similarly, the CISA agency is really in charge of cybersecurity nationally. They are asking utilities if there is a threat or if there has been an attack, that you please report it to CISA. And this particular website is www.us/cert.cisa.gov. Also on the subject of cybersecurity, I will say that I have heard from water utilities that they've received a lot of guidance and great technical assistance from Water ISAC. So if you haven't checked out Water ISAC, please do so. The update is that FBI did give EPA the list of those utilities that were compromised, and working with our states, each one of them has been notified, and they have taken appropriate steps to protect themselves. It was just a handful of utilities, luckily, in New England. So that's it on cybersecurity. Also a reminder about AWIA, America's Water Infrastructure Act requirements. We just passed a significant deadline of December 31st, 2020. This was the deadline by which medium-sized systems, 50,000 to 99,999, the middle range of utilities, they needed to certify that they conducted a risk and resilience assessment. Happy to tell you that only a very small handful of utilities, but for these utilities, very small numbers, they all met the compliance date. And for those that did not, you have received a personal email from me. So I know we'll be working on it, and very soon you'll be complying with this important deadline. Just in the future, circle the date, June 30th, 2021. That is the next big deadline for medium-sized systems to complete a risk and resilience assessment. For the small systems and for the medium-sized systems to then certify for the emergency response plans. And to help you with all of this, there is training coming up. It's actually started today. It's also tomorrow and the following day, so February 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. AWIA training, and if you want more about trying to register, then hop on EPA's Drinking Water Resilience website, and that should give you your registration. And two final things, climate change resilience is a very important matter, has been and will continue to be. There is a targeted New England virtual training for beginning in March. And that's March 2nd, March 4th, March 9th, and March 23rd. The 23rd is optional. Jennifer has the registration link. So if you're interested in learning more about the CREATE tool, which is a risk assessment tool, and learning about funding options for resilience, then I invite you to attend this virtual website. And the last is a response on the go application. It's an app to let you know that there is a new improved updated version of response on the go, and you can download it from the app store. And I will tell you, I just did it myself. So can't be too complicated. And this is a great tool. It's very easy to use. It's for when you're in the middle of an emergency, helps you document activities that you've taken and contact information. And that is it for me. Back to you, Commissioner.
Okay. Thanks a lot for that information, Jane. And I noticed we got a question about whether or not some of these links could be put on the website. And I believe Damon and Jen Peterson have been doing that throughout the chat. We'll also make it a point at DEP to put these links up on our website. So I encourage people, if you're interested right now in any of these links, to just take a look at our chat. All right, so with that, thank you again, Jane. And we're also joined by Mike Maynard of the Licensing Board. Mike, is there anything you'd like to offer up in terms of information? If so, would you unmute yourself? And the floor is yours.
Yep, just a quick rundown. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you just fine, thanks.
Okay, great. If anyone has any issues with DPL or licensing, please send an email to drinkingwaterboard@mass.gov with a CC to myself, michael.maynard@mass.gov. Again, if you have any issues with your licensing, the easiest way to get it addressed is send an email to drinkingwaterboard@mass.gov with a CC to michael.maynard@mass.gov. I just wanted to give a shout out to all of the online trainings that are actually coming up. This is a certification year, similar to wastewater. So everyone needs to get their licenses renewed by 12/31/21. I know we have 11 months left, but there are a number of online trainings. I know New England Waterworks has been increasing their number, and Mass Waterworks has also been increasing their online trainings that are available for TCHs. Also, a number of other ones are CEU Plan and Skillworks, which also have online trainings available for operators. So if you're looking to pick up your TCHs, please follow up on that. The board is still approving temporary emergency certifications and provisional certificates, which give the systems of the communities an additional 6 months to find a permanent solution to a lack of an operator. We are also, DEP is working with New England Waterworks for a cybersecurity class. We're working out the logistics on that. Hopefully that's going to happen sometime sooner rather than later. Also, the board is finishing up their regulations 236 CMR for the licensing provisions with DPL. So that's about it. We also have a board meeting on Friday. If you're interested in seeing the agenda, just go to DPL and look up Board of Certification for Drinking Water Operators, and you can see what is on the agenda. It's a call-in, so feel free to call in. It's at 10 o'clock in the morning to about 12. That's about all I have. Thank you, Commissioner.
Okay, thanks a lot, Mike. I appreciate the ongoing work of the board. With that, I might turn to some of the issues that we routinely talk about. I did check in again with regard to the financial issue. You know, we've discussed in the last meeting how Congress passed a $638 million nationwide bill to help low-income citizens who might be needing help paying water and wastewater utility bills. As I explained on our last call, the money will be allocated to the states, and then there will be criteria by which, you know, the states would presumably work with the citizens and the utilities involved. So far, I have not gotten any additional information. We did check in with our secretariat and budget people about how the funding, will be distributed first by the federal government, and then how the funding will be distributed in each state. We've heard that, you know, they may be looking at a model like the low-income heat assistance program, LIHEAP. But again, it's still early and we're short on details, but, we've committed to you know, making sure to follow up on this on a regular basis. And as we get updates, we'll provide them, or, and also we'll, you know, if Mass Waterworks or anybody's getting updates or they've heard anything about, you know, a development at the federal level, we'll be sure to be in touch on that. Vaccines. There have been many questions about vaccines this month. As you know, water and wastewater utility staff are among the essential employees listed in phase two, which began yesterday. The first priority is for people 75 and older. You know, again, we're expecting that this phase will, you know, including the water and wastewater utilities, will be addressed in February and March. We know there are a lot of questions about, you know, details. How will this work? We have been in touch with DPH. They are still working on these issues. We will continue to be in touch with them. You know, they are aware of DPH, forgive me, the Department of Public Health, which will be our, you know, our principal contact for this. We've made sure to coordinate throughout the administration, but we've been in touch with the Department of Public Health. They know that, you know, of the great interest in vaccines, and they know that DEP wants to work with them to make sure that we can be as helpful as possible with the administration of this. And I know that, you know, in a moment, I might ask Jen Peterson. I know she's had her own contact with people in the administration in the Department of Public Health. And we know there are a lot of questions about, you know, where will it start? You know, details about where will you get the vaccines? What kinds of credentials are needed? How to sign up? And these are all being worked on right now. You know, again, as soon as we have anything we will make sure that we are updating immediately. And if, you know, we'll make sure that this information is pushed out as quickly as possible. With that, I know, part of the benefit of this call is I know Jen Peterson and her advocacy for Mass Waterworks has had her own contact. So Jen, if this is timely and there's anything you want to add to that, I'd open the floor to you right now.
Thanks, Commissioner. I think you handled it very well. Basically, I've heard the same things. Mass Waterworks had been in touch with DPH to talk about the possibility of setting up some regional vaccination sites. Unfortunately, the logistics involved in doing that and the need to get clinical partners was going to be a little bit more than we might be able to handle at this time, but I had some confidence that DPH has enough sites set out that it should be able to be accessible to operators across the state. And so we do remain in close contact with DPH. We had hoped we might be able to get someone on the call today, but it just didn't work out. So, you know, stay tuned. We may have opportunities to talk further about the vaccine in the very near future. Thanks, Commissioner.
Sure. And you know, yeah, likewise, we will, we understand the importance of it, the priority, you know, again, and we'll be eager to do what we can to support this effort, you know, as Jen indicated, you know, whether it's logistics, information, whatever. So we'll be sure to be in touch. The other question we received was about the Water Management Act. And, you know, the question that got submitted said, in reviewing consumption information for 2020, I remember this came up actually early in the first month of the pandemic, people were asking, would we see this? And so this question picks up on this theme that residential use is increased while commercial use decreased during the period of the emergency. Given many people, and this is what the question says, given many people were working and learning from home, reducing travel amidst the pandemic, this doesn't come as a total surprise, but has Mass DEP given any consideration to acknowledging or addressing that some portion of impacts to the residential gallons per person per capita per day for 2020, the RGPCD, are really attributed to these large numbers of people being tied to their homes that used to go to the school, the office, travel. And, you know, the short answer is we do recognize that it is possible that we would be seeing this type of impact. You know, at the time when we last talked about this in the spring of 2020, we indicated that, you know, we would be interested in seeing the data. We now have several more months of that data available. The program would definitely consider exercising discretion for systems. We just are evaluating the information further. You know, we will be looking, you know, further at the data and how it plays out. But, you know, again, we, as with other sectors, we're mindful of the fact that this was an extraordinary year. And our programs, if there were changes in, you know, our programs should account for that and be thoughtful about administration of that. So we will be sure to have more to say about that. But as we look at the data, we will be keeping COVID in mind. So with that, I think that's probably the best I can say right now, but hopefully, you know, you'll be reassured that there is an acknowledgement that we are aware that water use patterns changed significantly during this event. And with that, I think those were the questions we got in advance. So I'd be happy to, you know, field other questions that may have come in from the chat, or if people are want to ask their questions verbally.
Yep. So if anyone has a question, feel free to put it in the chat at this time. Also, you can email me at jpeterson@masswaterworks.org. We did have a question back to one of the trainings that Jane mentioned, and maybe this is a question for Michael, if that training would qualify for TCHs, and that's, I think, a 3 or 4 day training on the CREATE tool. Michael, has that been submitted?
Not to the best of my knowledge. I have not seen that. I don't know if EPA is doing the training or if some they're partnering with somebody else, but I have not seen that. But if they do submit it, I'll certainly take a look at it and try to push it through as quickly as possible if it meets the requirements.
Thanks, Mike. Also in the chat, Kirsten King notes that New England Water Works has their Learning Palooza. That's another opportunity for operators to get TCHs. That will be the registration period is open now. So Kirsten has put that link in as well. For those of you interested, Damon has posted in the chat the current phases of the vaccination process, just so that you can see that as well. I'm not seeing any questions in the chat. Does anyone, I'm sorry, here's one. For Michael, is NIMS training accepted for TCHs?
I'm not familiar with, what's the acronym for that?
I think it's a
It's incident management. It's incident management systems. I think usually done by emergency authorities, Homeland Security. So it's National Incident Management System training.
Yeah, if they send me the training, oftentimes if it's safety and security, like OSHA 10 or something like that, and it's given by a reputable national organization, we do recognize that. But if they send me the course, I'll see if it meets the requirements and get back to them.
Thanks, Mike. Another question, maybe for Yvette or Damon, is the EASR data officially available? I think this question is asking, you know, when are they able to begin working on it? I believe I heard it was the beginning of February. So Yvette or Damon?
This is Damon, if you want me to take it, Yvette.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, so I assume this is for uploading PFAS test results, but I didn't hear that in the question, but I'll just presume that because that's the latest ED.
It's ASR.
ASR.
ASR, I'm sorry. Yes, actually it went live yesterday and the postcards are in the mail and we should be sending emails out as well within this week and into next. So if you wanna start early, it's ready right now.
Yeah, I got something here. And forgive me, I got something here that says the EASR goes online on February 8th and is due by April 8th. So if it's the EASR, that's the latest I just got, so.
Yep, that's correct. We were doing the official notification next Monday.
But it is sort of out there if people already have an account, Damon, they can.
Yeah, it's there this week. We just, we tend to do a little soft launch to make sure nothing breaks on the launch, but we send the postcards out this week. Emails as well, and as the commissioner said, the due date is based upon next Monday's official release.
Oh, okay, great. Did you, Damon, since you were on it, did you want to comment on the ability to upload the PFAS stuff?
It's still a work in progress.
Okay.
IT is still working on some of the bits and pieces.
All right, great. If anyone is unable to put their question in the chat and they'd like to unmute, if you unmute, I'll call on you. All right, well, I'm not seeing anyone unmuting and I'm not seeing anyone posting any more questions in the chat. Just check my email, make sure we don't have any emails. We don't. Okay, so our next call would be the first Tuesday of March. That would be March 2nd. Certainly we will be back in touch with you in between if there's anything that comes up on the vaccinations. I mean, if we get some word from DPH, that may be a quickly scheduled meeting without much turnaround time. So just pay attention to email and we'll keep you informed as we learn more about the vaccination stuff. Commissioner, do you have anything else?
No, I was, I'll reiterate that, you know, if we hear anything in the meantime, we'll be sure to be in touch with folks. So we're eager to work cooperatively with you on that.
Great. All right, well, thank you everyone. And thanks again to the commissioner and staff for maintaining this monthly communication with us. It's been very helpful. And we'll talk to you all on March 2nd if we don't talk to you before. So thank you very much.
Thank you.